Hello, and welcome to another episode of Courageous Exchanges. I am Joy.
And I'm Alex.
And we hope that you are having a wonderful summer because it is 1,000 million bazillion degrees. It's hot. How is it in New York?
It's super hot, and it's actually been storming for the past few days in the evening, which I know has also been happening in Georgia as well. So, yeah, it's just oppressively hot. Yeah. I'm over it. I've been hiding inside to keep cool because I don't do well in the heat and humidity. Yeah. So,
it's been storming here. We've had a few power outages. I'm over it. I'm a summer girl because of my birthday, but other than that, this heat is disgusting.
Yeah, I'm not a summer girl. I do not like summer. I do not like summer in New York. It is too hot and uncomfortable. And I am past the phase of my life where I like being outside doing all the things. So I'm much
more. You don't want to be playing in a hydrant eating chicken on the corner.
No, not anymore. There was a time when I did, but we're past that. But yeah, I'm much more of a fall girl. I also really like fall fashions. Like summer fashion doesn't really do it for me as much. Also, hair gets sweated out. It's just like a lot. So not my thing.
No, I hear you. Yeah. Well, as you all can see, we are obviously in our respective homes today. Child, because everything is expensive. Studios are beautiful, but they cost money. Traveling is beautiful, but it costs money. So when we can be together, we will be together. And when we can't, we have the ability to record and be together virtually. Absolutely. It's still very special, and I am grateful for.
Yes, I'm also super grateful for our time that we did have in a studio. Yes. It was so beautiful, and it was so nice to like invite folks in and engage in them in that way. We're looking forward to doing that again in the future. Yeah. But for now, I'm super grateful that we have this platform that I think has been doing us right and really helping us to continue to keep the good conversations going.
Yes. Yes. So one of the things that has been coming up, it came up a few months ago, but it's still on my mind. So I'll give you some backstory and then I'll go to the present or the more current present. So one time I had a client who was talking about a situation with some of her relatives, her brothers, I want to say. And at some point she like had all these thoughts and feelings about it, big thoughts and feelings about it. And then she said, you know what? This is not my monkey and this is not my circus. And I said, I don't know if you came up with that on your own. I don't know if you heard that somewhere else, but not my monkey, not my circus has become my like go-to saying, because there's some times that I know like young Joy, like teenage Joy, early 20s Joy, my friends would be in a relationship and I didn't like the person. I would be like, yeah, a lot of things to say. I don't like your boyfriend, and he is this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And oftentimes, my friends did not care what I had to say, and that was still their boyfriend because shut the fuck up, Joy. Mm-hmm. But you know, now fast forward, we're in our 40s or you know, whatever. We're late 30s is probably the range of all my friends now, and sometimes I still have thoughts and feelings about people's partners. Mm-hmm. And depending on the relationship, I might express it. But the reality is, it's not my monkey and it's not my circus. And what goes right on in someone else's house doesn't really affect or impact me. But why do I feel like I gotta say something?
Well, I think, first of all, that a lot of the times as friends, you take on a lot of the experiences of the people that you love and like the people that you're calling your friends to.
Right.
And so like when you see them doing something or, you know, being in a relationship per se that isn't really meeting their needs or isn't really as strong as you think it should be, like you almost feel like it's your job to help them see it. Right. I think that's really what it is. And that's a struggle because like everyone's processing and everyone's timing is different.
Right.
and people's vision for their lives is different. Like that's a, and I think Not My Monkey, Not My Circus is like something that I've been dealing with quite a bit too. And that I've been hearing a lot, especially, you know, when I talk to people about like work and stuff like that, like it's kind of like get somebody else to do it. Right. I kind of equate those two. But yeah, I think ultimately it's like, we love hard, right? Yeah. And I think as like adults in friendships, and relationships and all of that, like a lot of the time, like we get very invested in people's stuff.
Cause that's, and that's, I know that that's it. I get very invested. Like if I fuck with you, you might, if I consider you a friend, I want the best for you. Mm-hmm. And I think in the last probably like year and a half, the struggle has really been like, joy, just because that's the best for you, that doesn't mean that that's the best for that person, or that's what they want for their life. You don't know everything. There's this woman named Passport Cuddy, or that's her Instagram name. I don't know if that's her real name, or I'm sure that's not her real name. Mm-hmm. She has this thing about Leos, and it's like, Leos always think they know better than you. Leo women always think they know better than you, and they're like, your life is boring. Let me add some glitz and glamour and sparkles. You're doing it wrong. Let me do it. And sometimes I feel like that, like, oh my God, you're living your life wrong. Come, let me fix it up for you.
It's so true.
But it's not my job.
I think
just because I think it's the best or the right thing, this is somebody else's journey, because somebody might feel the same way about my stuff.
It's true. And I think that now, especially like where we're at in our growth and development, something that I think about often is like, I'm very sensitive now to people's experiences. Mm-hmm. I know you've often called me an empath. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like all the like deets of like what being an empath entails, but I will say that like, I'm very affected by other people's energy. And mm-hmm. like, if I get into a hard conversation with someone, or if someone shares a story with me about something that's hurting them or a hard experience that they've had, I think about it all day. And I also feel the need to like try to help them through it, or like talk to them about.
So like, you become a fixer. Like that's your thing. Like, yeah. I'm like, let me design it for you. And you're like, here's some resources.
Yeah.
And here are the tools. And I've made this phone call, and I made this.
Mm-hmm. And like, here's an experience that I've had that could help you, that you could connect with, and here's how I got out of it.
Right.
Like, some resources that I've used. And I think that also comes from like the fact that I do a lot of coaching. So like in my regular life, I gotta be careful that I don't seep into that coaching role, because it's true, it messes with me. And I got to start really being mindful of that. It's not my monkey. It's not my circus. I cannot impose my will or my way of living on others, but it takes real work. It really does.
It does. Mm-hmm. I think for me, and I want to know what you think too, of course, I think for me, sometimes it feels like the lines get blurred, or there's a fine line between like, not my monkey, not my circus. And like, my friend is my monkey. This is not my circus, but this is my monkey in some ways. And like, I want to intervene because I don't want my, and this is like friends, family, just people I know. I don't want people to be in dangerous or unhealthy situations or get harmed in any way, because people are not well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do agree with that. But I do think that something that I've noticed is there's the disappointment that comes when you think about things that way. And when you see your friend as your monkey, and even though that's not my circus, but like I'm here and I'm fully invested in this, you know, particular person,
right?
It creates a road to disappointment. And really? I think it's like, it's the expectations. Something that I read something somewhere where it was like, you know, part of like being a well-rounded or a sophisticated person is to understand that each human is having their own experience. And the minute you walk away from having expectations for human beings is when you're truly free. And I'm like, oh,
that's real.
That's the thing, right?
Not having expectations for human beings, you're truly free.
It's true. Uh-huh. And when you really think about it, so much of our pain and heartache and disappointment comes from having expectations of people who are having a lived experience as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes like with the whole, sorry, I didn't mean to control, mm-hmm. but I think about like when people who like take things so personally, and I'm like, a lot of, to the point of like people are having their own experiences, a lot of the times it has nothing to do with you.
Right.
Some people are intentionally trying to hurt you and disappoint you. But some people are just trying to make it day by day the same way you are.
Most of the time, and you talking about not taking things personally, that's one of the four agreements, right? Mm-hmm. Is like understanding again that like a lot of the times the way that people show up or the decisions that they make is part of their lived experience, and it's not going to be aligned with what your expectation is for what it should be.
Right.
And it's so hard because you think it's your friend and you love them and you know them so well and you know everything about them, but truly you can never know everything about someone because you don't live in their soul and in their body. And I think, again, that's when that expect that disappointment, for me, it's the disappointment, right?
When someone doesn't do the thing you've invested in, okay?
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Well, I've been trying to teach myself to not have expectations, like really step away, which is hard, right? Especially I would say in like romantic relationships and things like that, like you're going to have expectations like for the person you're in a relationship with.
Right.
And I think that's a little bit different from like friendships. Mm-hmm. I think for friendships, I've gotten a little bit better at it, mostly depending on the day, where I'm just like, you know what? It's not going to look the way that I want it to look. Actually, I love you and that's fine. And this is none of my business. Like I'm your friend and I've given what I can, but if you choose to go in a different direction, like I can't be so invested in it that it's messing with my peace.
Yeah. Like it's keeping me up at night. It's causing me to feel disruption in my own body. You know, that's real. Yeah.
And I think that has been like the big area of focus for me. I think also is like, I'm at a place in my life where I feel happy, right? And I feel at peace mostly. And I've made a lot of changes in my life and over the past year, almost 2 years now. And I want everybody to have that too, right? Again, not saying that there's a lot of hard days. There's a lot of, you know, hard moments, but I always like try to talk to my friends and stuff about like, hey, you know, this is temporary, or like, I've had this experience too. Here's how I got out of it. Or also I'm having a bad moment right now, right? This is how I'm trying to show up, or this is, you know, me talking to you is part of like my process of sharing, like how I'm trying to get better at certain things. But again, that's my process. That's not going to be everybody's process. And I don't know it all. I'm just trying to get through the day like everybody else. It works for me right now, but it might not work for me in a year, you know?
And that's important. I think the state is like that. Things change and people change and thoughts and opinions and mindsets also change. And so allowing yourself to give yourself that grace to be like, that used to work, but it doesn't now. I used to think that, or I used to feel that, and now I don't, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But when you say, I don't know it all. Like, yes, I know that I don't know it all, but I be knowing. You be knowing too. I feel like, but also it's like, I was having this conversation with my little cousin and we were talking about like when your parents tell you about their past and not every maybe graphical detail and every thing that they've done, but something that I appreciated about the conversations outside my mom had about like dating, for example, or even like with girlfriends. Not that all situations are the same or end the same, but I'm able to be like, oh, that reminds me of this thing. Or even like experiences that other people I know have had that are not my mom, but I'm able to like make these connections. And I'm like, oh, well, is this a pattern? Is this something that part of this person's character versus like in the moment, one-time thing, or it was a mistake, or it's something that they're working through, and like I just have to be more patient with my, again, my patient with or not have any expectations in this person doing or not doing this thing. So again, it's not like that you know everything, but I do think that sometimes other people's experiences can be helpful.
Yes, I agree with that. Now, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you think that there are times where you need to show up with a listening ear?
Yes.
As opposed to a counseling ear or a coaching ear or a this is the right way to do it ear?
Yes.
And how do you decipher between the two?
That's a great question. I think when I'm being cognizant of it, I'll ask, like, are you just venting? You want me to say something? I think when I'm not, sometimes I do, and depending on who I'm talking to, sometimes I think I jump into like, hear my thoughts and opinions.
Yup.
Well, I think that, you know, that.
I told you last week.
I knew that was going to happen. Why are we surprised? You know, so sometimes, I think sometimes, it's a spectrum. Sometimes it's like, do you want me to say a thing or you just want to vent? Because sometimes I just want to vent. Sometimes I don't want anyone to say something. And if I'm venting and someone is like, well, that was stupid anyway. Now I got an attitude. Now I'm mad at you. Now whatever I just told you don't even matter anymore. Mm-hmm. But sometimes shady Joy comes out and she's like,
yep.
Because we thought something was going to be different this time.
Yep.
And I know that. For some people, I think that's not helpful. For some people, I think it could be because I don't. Sometimes you just need a mirror.
I don't know if
you need one to hold the mirror.
Exactly. I think for me, I've been trying not to show up with the coaching ear all the time, like really just trying to listen. And the reason, believe it, is probably a selfish one, is because I don't want to take it on. So
I think that's the best reason to not take on to just be like, oh wow. And so you don't have, it doesn't become your job.
Exactly. So I'm like, you know what? I'm working on not taking things on. And so mm-hmm. I'm just gonna show up and listen to what you have to say. Be empathetic, you know, but like it's not my job to fix this problem for you. Now, if you come to me and ask for help explicitly,
right,
then I could kick into that coaching mode. But like right now, just like of where I am, I've been really trying to focus more so on just listening as opposed to fixing.
Okay.
Because fixing is exhausting.
And
especially when you go back and break the shit all over again next week.
So I think sometimes it does, and like, I don't like when people are like, oh, you sound like a therapist, or you have your social work voice on.
Mm-hmm.
But I sometimes wonder if my profession was different, would people still receive it the same way? Because I feel like I talk to people of all different types of professions, and I think when you're having like a genuine, empathetic experience with somebody, it does sound a little social worky, fluffy, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I do. I think I will. I think that's the thing that I need to do is just be more aware or ask more. Like, what do you need in this moment? Like, what would be helpful? But I think also on the other side of that is like sometimes people need to be honest with that. I think sometimes people share things and they maybe don't. Maybe they haven't had set the personal expectation of like, why am I telling Joy this? So why am I telling Alex this? Am I telling them this because I just want them to listen, or am I telling them this because I want them to do a thing?
And I think that's the important part of the conversation too, is like really kind of almost setting the expectation, like, what is it that you want?
Yeah.
And I think often, like for me, when I'm going into coaching mode, like I'll often say like, here's why I'm here. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to hear from you. Like, what are you looking to get out of today's interaction?
That's how I start with new clients too.
Exactly, right? So it's like, just to like keep the other person at the center of the convo, and also for you, not for me, not to impose my views on you. Because I know that, and a lot of the things that I do and the way that I run my life day to day is not the way that other people want to live, and it's not what other people want to do. And I never want to be seen as a know-it-all either, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm figuring this shit out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so for me, it's like I always get like my shoulders tense up anytime like someone's like, well, you got it all figured out. I'm like, that's a very slippery slope, because I need some grace a lot of the time. You know,
that's a really good point, because people do sometimes assume that people do have it together, whether they're because they're not saying it, mm-hmm. or in their world that they do see, it looks like everything is perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's a terrible assumption to make about folks.
It really is. Do you,
or like, and like, because they got it together and they got it figured out, you could come put your stuff on them.
Absolutely. Do you ever feel like it's hard for people to see you in need of help or in need of support because you appear to have it all figured out and because you spend much time counseling others?
I think in certain spaces, I think with the people who are my real support system, no. Because I feel like I'm able to say, like, I'm struggling, or mm-hmm. like, today's a hard day. And that might not always come out the moment that I start to feel it, because sometimes I still get into my head of, like, just figure it out. Like, you could do it by yourself. But I find that when I say something, like, my group is supportive, I do find that other people... I've tried to say stuff, or I have said stuff, and I've had an expectation of support, mm-hmm. and maybe that was too broad of what I expected, and what I think they thought they were giving was support, and what I thought they were giving was, clearly you can't handle any of my big feelings, so I won't bring them to you. Mm. Which then kind of like makes a relationship a little bit more surface. If I can't come and be like, I'm really excited about this thing and come celebrate with me, or like, I'm really struggling right now. And I know everybody can't be there for that, but like, it's harder for me sometimes to have relationships with people when I feel like I'm just being like a surface person.
Yeah, I understand that. And more I feel the same. I think that I've even spoken to you about that. Like, mm-hmm. it's really hard to not be able to step into your full self, because I think that us having this platform has really pushed me to be very cognizant of authenticity in relationships, interactions, mm-hmm. you know, when I'm showing up as my most authentic self, when I don't feel like I'm showing up as my most authentic self. And I find that one of the times that I feel stressed or anxious,
because
I do deal with, you know, a little bit of anxious feelings, mm-hmm. Is when I feel that I can't be my authentic self, or if it feels unsafe, mm-hmm. that's when, again, my shoulders will tense up and like I get stressed out over it. And I think that the friendships and the exchanges that I have with people is a big trigger for that. So like, if I feel that I can't really like lean into who I am, what I'm feeling, what I want to do, what I want to talk about, how I want to, you know, show up.
Right.
That's a trigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
More and more, that's very, very difficult to deal with on a daily basis. Very difficult.
It makes me not want to show up personally. Or if I have to show up, I am very strict, I would say, on like what my boundaries are. I'm here for an hour. I'm here for a night. I'm here for
10 minutes.
Because I'm not overextending myself and feeling uncomfortable to make somebody else feel comfortable. I'm not doing that anymore.
Absolutely. And I feel like there's a sense of freedom in that, right? Like, I feel like to be able to say, like, right now I in this space, like, I feel safe and I feel like I could be my full self and I can, you know, listen to you and what your experiences are and have mm-hmm. authentic exchanges or courageous exchanges. That's a beautiful thing, right? And then it's not stressful. Then I might be, you know, more open to, you know, taking on your monkey and your circus, you know?
Or not taking it on, but like, maybe I'm the ticket person at the circus and I'm a support person.
Okay.
I'm run the circus.
Okay, we're not running it, but I'm more.
You know, what is it, Barnum and Bailey?
Are they racist? Probably. Is something racist happening with them? I feel like something racist.
Probably because the circus is.
Yeah, I mean, the circus ain't even a circus anymore. Apparently, there's no animals.
Because it's not.
It's not nice to the animals. But what's the circus without animals?
The Universal Circus is dancing. I think they got animals. I feel like they got elephants.
I hope they have.
It's definitely dancing.
Of course, they're gonna dance.
Right foot now, y'all. Cha cha, little smooth. That's.
Well, why I gotta go to the circus? I can do that anywhere.
In your damn living room.
Do they incorporate the animals in the dance? Ain't no animals.
I went to the Universal Circus probably 15 years
ago. Yeah, you did.
Maybe not 15, maybe like 10 years ago.
What were you doing there?
I had to been to Barnum and Bailey or Ringling Brothers or whatever it was.
Oh, Ringling Brothers. Yes.
With the like glow thing.
So yeah. Anywho.
But.
I forgot. Well, we were talking about taking on and we're not taking it on. We just the ticket master at the circus. If it's a safe space.
If it's a safe space.
Yeah. But not all the time.
Yeah, not all the time. It's too much. It's too much. And I got my own stuff. My own damn circus over here.
Do you have exchanges with people where you feel like it's the same conversation every time? And it's like, how does this friendship or how does this relationship move forward or does it? Because I'm just not in a place of stagnation right now. Like, I'm just like, we all have problems. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the solutions.
Right.
And then I want to be talking about a different problem next month.
Right. Or like
some different solutions. If the problem isn't solved, let's still be talking about different solutions. But I don't want to be talking about the same problem and no solutions, right. Nothing that you've tried.
Because that's the thing that frustrates me is when, on a personal and professional level, is when people have the problem, you offer tools, solutions, support, and then they come back and they have not tried it and they're still like, it doesn't work. Yes. You didn't try anything. And again, like, if something's not working, try something else. Mm-hmm. Everything is not, and something might work one time and doesn't work the next time. I feel like with this whole job market, people are looking for jobs has looked very different for people than it did in the past. And so if going on a website and applying for jobs isn't working, is there more you can do?
Exactly.
And can you ask somebody? Can you network? Can you go back to school? Can you take a certification? Like, are there other steps that can be made? But if you keep just being like, I can't find a job. I ain't applied for none, but I can't find a job. Like,
no.
That's not how it works. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out my own life era. But when I talk about like wanting today, but also not wanting to do the work. But I don't, every conversation is not like, I just really want to date, but I don't want to do the work. Like, girl, shut up. Yeah. Or do something. Do something or stop talking about it.
To yourself, that's fine too. Because guess what? Sometimes we're not ready to solve the problem yet. And that's fine. You
need to go write it down and talk.
Write it down and then go back and read it. Every few days, go back and read it over, reflect, or not. Because guess what? It's none of my business. unless you really don't have to do anything besides not drive me crazy with the shit.
That's it. Yeah, but I just feel like, and I feel like a lot of the things that come up in our episodes is like, it's the work that people are doing. So if you're not doing the work, I don't want to hear about it. If you're doing it, like if somebody is like, yo, I've been grinding and hustling and doing this, and it's just not landing.
Yeah.
I'm more likely to like listen and want to be supportive, want to brainstorm ideas. Yes. And if somebody's like, it's just crazy, like nobody's hiring me. Have you applied for a job today? Mm-hmm. Now I ain't applied for a job in like 2 months.
Why?
Sounds like you just want to sit in this situation and complain about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's it.
If there's something else going on, let's have that conversation, right? Because sometimes it's that what we're seeing in front of us is a symptom of something else.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So like, let's just dig into it and let's really figure out what's going on here. Mm-hmm. But if not, if you don't want to do that, mm-hmm. you're allowed.
Yes.
Keep me out of it.
Yes. Keep that shit to yourself now.
Call me when you're ready. Call me when you're ready to talk. Like, to have a real conversation, because you know, and I've been working on this, but I am a Sag.
A spicy.
I am a Haitian woman. And so if you want to hear the truth, I will tell it to you. Even if you don't want to hear, I think that I've gotten a little bit like more sensitive and toning things down. And like, again, understanding that this is not my business and mm-hmm. you know, to sit down and be quiet. But if you say, I'm coming to Alex because I need to hear the truth, oh, you're going to get the truth.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I love and appreciate so much about you, is that I will. Like, I feel like
I'm not the person you should call. And I own that. If you need love and affection and sensitivity, I'm probably not the person to call.
I just remember, I think about when I, you know, was in a moment of temporary insanity in the year 2020. Like a lot of people, 2020 was a difficult year for the folks. Mm-hmm. And I just remember I would call you or text you and I'd complain or I'd have a feeling and you'd be like, but you know what it is. And you continue to put yourself in a situation and you know what it is. So it was one of, you didn't say this, but it was one of those like, play stupid games, get stupid prizes. So it was like, okay, if I'm continuing to play stupid games and I go to Alex, she's going to tell me that I'm going to get a stupid prize.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other people that, you know, the people in your life, there's other people you know you can go to who are like, I mean, is it stupid or is it, you know, there's people who might coddle you a little bit more, but I appreciate, and I think this is part of, I think for me, what made me feel closer to you is because I knew that you were going to be honest with me. And I know that like, it's not your monkey nor your circus, but if I come to you and I say, do you like the design? You're gonna be like, bitch, no. It's mid, and you are worth more than that. So maybe go back to the design board and come with something different. And like, even if it hurt my feelings, I don't think it ever hurt my feelings. I think it was like, I already knew the answer to that too, or I felt similar. And I knew you were gonna tell me what I probably needed to hear. So I appreciate it. I don't really want, and not everybody's opinion.
Yeah, we don't want everybody's opinion. Mm-mm. No.
And I don't want unsolicited advice either.
No.
But there are a group of people whose opinions I do value. And so I want to know how I am showing up and how they are seeing me, because I care. Like, because sometimes it's not what's being said, it's who's saying it. So if somebody else is like, I think Joy, blah, 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 I might be like, I don't care what you think of me. But if you want to be like, hey, Joy, da 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 da, I'll be like, okay, like,
yeah,
I need to like really reevaluate, because somebody who is close to me and who I value and who I know values me feels this about me. I need to work on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed, agreed. I think yes to all of that. And something that I've also heard, and I kind of like how it sounds too, is like, other people's opinion are really none of my business. Like, unless it's somebody I love, I really don't care what you think of me. You know, of course, I don't go through life wanting to hurt anybody or to make anyone feel bad about themselves or anything like that. But something that I have learned, you know, about like stepping away from people pleasing and really developing a stronger self-image is the fact that, like, listen, when you're doing things, everybody's not going to love it. And that's okay. That's okay.
You are not for everybody, and everybody is not for you, is my favorite quote.
Everybody's not your bestie.
Yep. And everybody's not going to like you.
And everyone's not going to like you. And that's okay. If you're moving with clean hands and a clean heart, then guess what? You know, and when you stand on something, you're bound to hurt some feelings. If you don't stand for anything and you all surface, then yeah, probably people are going to love you, right? But like, it's not real because you're still not being your authentic self. And you don't stand on nothing. And who wants that?
Period.
So
yep,
that's a thing.
That's real. That's real. Because that wanting to please people, that wanting people to like you can really get you in a situation of like, you lose yourself, you have no identity, and you just out here trying to please people, and the whole time you miserable. And they don't give a fuck about you.
They don't give a fuck. All you doing is running around and really just trying to, again, fill everybody else's bucket. Meanwhile, you don't even have a bucket.
You gave your bucket to somebody last week because theirs got a hole in it.
That's right. That's right.
I remember I think it was the 7th or the 8th grade. This girl, growing up was so hard. People are so mean. But the school I went to went from pre-K to 12th grade. So it was a range of ages. So there were some older kids who were not nice to this girl. She was new to the school. And after school one day, she bought anybody who was outside pizza.
Aww.
I'm sure she paid a lot of money. Like, even if she paid $20, $20 in 7th grade was goddamn money.
Yeah.
And people said, people took that pizza and walked away and was still mean to her the next day.
Yep.
And it was so sad.
So sad.
Because that still happens now
to
people. Is you give your all, you give your last, you give so much to people because you just want them to see you and hear you. And they like, I don't give a fuck about you.
That's right.
And you gotta like know who you are, build that self-worth so that if you're in those situations, you're able to identify like this person is not here because they genuinely care about me. They're here because they can take and they can get.
Yeah. That makes me think about the term self-preservation and selfishness. And I have been thinking about, and I know that like to myself, I've been saying like self-preservation is okay. It's not a bad thing. Right. And I'm still trying to unpack, you know, some of the nuance between self-preservation and selfishness. Because I think in my mind, like spoiled, it's something that we really need to dig into and figure out like, what's going on with the term selfish versus self-preservation?
I think selfish gets a terrible rap. I think being selfish is self-preservation. And again, I don't think being selfish means you only think. I think only thinking about yourself is self-centered. I think selfish is like, what do I need? Now let me think about the other people. How does that? Because I don't think people who are selfish are necessarily like mean and nasty.
I'm trying to really like get clearer on the term because I think that it's something that we throw around very often, but I don't
use to put people down.
Yeah. It's a negative term that you use to like come at people. And I'm trying to figure out exactly like what the nuance is between the two so that I can decide if I'm getting rid of that too, along with spoiled.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think, again, when we talk about like not my monkey, not my circus, it's really being able to step back and let people have their experiences, you know, while also protecting our peace, mm-hmm. our sanity, you know, and ensuring that we feel good to right. do the things that we have to do.
Right. And if you want someone to be a part of your circus, it's okay to say, like, I need you to give it to me real and like be honest with me. Am I bugging or am I crazy? Whatever. Because and I think that's okay. And I think you also, again, know who that person is that you can get that from and feel safe and secure doing it. It could be a friend, it could be a family member, it could be a therapist, it could be your journal. Remember, that's not talking back to you necessarily. So never mind, that's your journal, but.
Absolutely.
But also, if you are a person who is always inputting your two cents, ask next time, like, is that what you want?
Exactly. And understand that you, when you're imposing your expectations on people, mm-hmm. you're setting yourself up for some disappointment unless that person has explicitly reached out for your help, your advice, and your guidance. And even then, you might still be disappointed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let people live their lives chill.
Let them, yeah. That's not your monkey and not your circus.
It ain't.
Continuing at the rest of the year and beyond because I figure out my own damn life. Well, thank y'all for listening to another episode. Please be sure to follow us on Instagram at Courageous Exchanges. If you want to chat with us, send us a question or a message, you can email us at CourageousExchanges@gmail.com. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. People will tell me they've watched, and I'm like, but where is your life?
Yes. Also, but I will say we've been enjoying the comments. So keep the comments coming.
I love the comments.
Yes. Keep those comments coming on our Instagram.
And thank y'all for engaging with us.
Yes. Too. Yes. Keep that engagement up. Keep it coming. We do read them, laugh at them, mm-hmm. share them, and take them into consideration. So please, please keep those coming too. We're enjoying that.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank y'all for being on this journey with us.
Yes. A lot of twists and turns, but it's going well. So we thank y'all so much. And remember to live a courageous and authentic life. Bye-bye.
Bye.